It's not playing with Lex and Dan.
It's not playing with Lex and Dan, the show where two people named Lex and Dan watch movies that most people have seen, but one or both of us have not. And I did a very long intro without introducing my co-host. It's Lex Friedman. Hi, Lex.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
And I'm Dan Warren, just in case you're tuning in for the first time for some unfathomable reason to the middle of season 10.
This is the time to join the show.
It's, you know what? We're on the upswing. I feel good about it. There's a World Series in the offing. Mm. We are on, perfectly on schedule with this.
I love that for us. And I love that we're watching a movie that's on a streaming service, because we've watched a few that were not included with any streaming service recently.
Yes, we're back into the pop culture, you know, this movies that I guess more people have seen. This week's feature is The Rookie. What do you know, if anything, about The Rookie, Lex?
Simply from loading it on Disney Plus, where we're streaming it, I know that it has Dennis Quaid. That is roughly the extent of what I know. I thought I saw, and I quickly went to, you know, the play screen and paused it, so I now have no information. I thought I saw maybe that it said it was like a documentary or based on a true story in some way, but I don't know if that's correct.
True story. So,
Oh, I see right on the poster it does say that it's based on a true story, which I didn't know. I don't know whose story it is. I know basically nothing about this movie.
Excellent.
I assume it involves a rookie playing baseball, maybe not for the first time, but maybe for the first time professionally.
I will say, and I don't think this is a giveaway, so I'm going to give it to you, which is the director of this movie, and I don't know if he also wrote it. I don't think he did write it, but he is the writer and director of a movie we have previously watched in your football season.
Mm.
He wrote and directed The Blind Side, a movie that has aged very well and not become critical in any way.
Yeah. John Lee Hancock. Is
John
that right?
Lee Hancock.
I remember
that. I like
that
he put the Lee in to distinguish himself from John Hancock. Just
can't
in case
fault
he got dicey. All right. Well, I don't know. I guess we don't have much else to say about this, since I have seen this movie, I will be clear.
I'm a rookie to this movie.
You're a rookie to The Rookie. It was a long time ago. I don't know. I remember it okay, but yeah, it was quite some years ago. I think it's from 2001.
Is this our first rated G movie?
I don't think so. It could be, but the one I was going to check, because as I was loading this up, it was right next to another movie that we have watched, and I'm looking to see what that one was rated, which was Invincible, which is also a Disney movie. And then so I was trying
to be shocked if Invincible is rated G. I bet it's PG.
It's PG. Yeah. I guess you're probably right, but I am also surprised that this is a G-rated movie, but I guess it is a Disney movie. So, you know, you got that going for you. Why is it so hard to find? Yeah, PG. There we go. You're right. It is PG rated. So
it is hard to find. And the answer is because Wikipedia doesn't include it.
Yes, which they really should.
Yeah.
Weird. So I don't know. Someone can go back and crunch the data for us and tell us if this is our first G-rated movie in our entire 10 seasons. Woof.
Wow.
Well, without any further ado, I think we should get underway here, don't you?
Yeah, let's not have any more ado, man.
Okay, one ado.
We're queued up at 000 on Disney Plus. But before we watch, I guess
one ado.
Yeah, there is that one piece of ado. We want to encourage you to become an Incomparable member. You've heard us say it before, and if you've been on the fence, or if you thought, "Hey, I never have any reason to do this," this is the reason. It's not just that you can watch along with us and listen to a live syncable commentary track in your podcast app of choice. It's also because you get so much other bonus content. There's bootlegs and stuff that nobody else gets to hear, and other people watching movies for some reason, and other bonus content. But most of all, because you get to support The Incomparable and find people in it, including us, me and Dan. And why not support us? All you have to do is go to theincomparable.com/members. It's cheap. It's cheap, and you're not. So it's a perfect match.
We really appreciate it, and you get to become a member of a great community. We even have a members Discord where people hang out a lot. It's a lot of fun. And you will be welcomed with open arms. I can guarantee it. And if they don't, let me know.
We will forcibly open arms if necessary.
We will open their arms. Well, Lex, we are here at the end of The Rookie, a movie we have just finished.
It was cute, Dan. It was a cute movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty solid. I mean, it is a Disney movie, right? Like,
yes, it sure is.
And that's fine, but I felt like we kind of knew that going in.
Yeah.
I missed him. I was kind of looking for him part of the way through, but the real Jimmy makes a appearance there as a umpire at some point.
Got it. I liked the movie because it is not just a Disney movie, but a Disney sports movie. You know a whole lot of the story going in.
Sure.
Like, even though I did not know the story, you kind of know the story.
Orlando umpire number two.
And he did a great job.
Yeah.
As I was saying to you while you watched it, it's not hugely long, but it's 2 hours plus.
Yeah.
And really kind of at the midpoint of the movie, it switches. The first half of the movie is high school baseball player movie. Like,
yeah,
coach coaching them up and getting them to be better at playing baseball and caring about baseball. And the second half is Dennis Quaid making it in the majors. it is kind of funny to me the way that movie works, because it's like he inspires his team and then his team inspires him, but then the team is basically gone, right? So well, the second half of the movie is he inspires himself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I certainly didn't think about that the first time I watched this many, many years ago, but I think you're totally nailed it that it is essentially two movies put together. I wonder if they felt like the second half of the movie doesn't really land unless you kind of have all his backstory. I mean, I think you could probably trim a little bit here and there, but I think it's effective at what it does.
Yeah. It basically means that there are, maybe even by design, there's not too many characters to fall in love with. Like,
sure,
we get Dennis Quaid the whole time. We see his loving, supportive wife from time to time, and I think she does a nice job. We see his son, who has very little to do, and other two kids who also exist. But, like, you don't get to glom onto anybody. Like, I kind of wanted somebody who we had the whole time besides him, and we don't quite get
that. What about the old guys in the store?
I do like them. They are recurring, but, like, I thought that they were, let's say, underdeveloped.
Fair. I mean, they're caricature-y, right? I mean, I like that you have at least, they've been there, like, we see them when he moves to town, right, like, as a kid, and they are basically there throughout his entire life. And
yes.
I mean, I kind of like, they're almost like a Greek chorus there in the background.
Yes.
Which I kind of enjoyed. But you're right. I mean, part of the problem, like you said, we have so many people in that first half of the movie with all the baseball players. And I feel like you get, like, a few of the players, like, stand out. There's the, I mean, mainly it's those four that we see at the end, right, who show up to support him. A couple of whom go on to a better career. Jay Hernandez and Rick Gonzalez both went on to solid careers. So I'm glad to see them.
And we saw Jay Hernandez, as I told you while we watched, in
Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, yeah.
So he does a lot of sports.
Yeah, and I like the third of one of those is an actor named Chad Lindbergh, who I know from a recurring character on Supernatural in the first couple seasons. So, but you're right that it means that we get a little, like, dilution of that because we're so, you know, then focused on Jim for the second half.
Yep.
Get a little bit of his, I mean, this is very much a movie that is a father-son dynamic, right? Which I think, you know, not uncommon in many movies. We over on Biff, we make fun of the fact that, like, every Marvel movie is essentially about, like, daddy issues eventually.
Well, that's a great point because I feel like you're right that that is an underlying theme of this movie, but I thought it only seemed tilted at in a way that surprised me, that the movie could have done a lot more with. Like, he has this reunion moment with his dad at the end where dad's like, I wouldn't miss this one, which felt unearned to me because he hasn't demonstrated any growth or awareness in this point. And it's so lightly dealt with. Like, you want to have, I get that he doesn't need to have a true confrontation with his dad, but, like, it felt unearned in some way.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the challenge there is also because of the narrative and how it's developed here, there's a big chunk of Jim's life that we miss, right? We miss his first, when he gets drafted and he hurts himself and everything, right? Mm-hmm. And as a result, like, we sort of jump from him being, like, what is he in those flashback scenes? Maybe 13, 14? Then we jump to him being, like, in his late 30s. So we're missing 25 years or something. And similarly, we get, you know, it's kind of alluded to, right? Like, when he shows up at his dad's house to bring his son there, right? And to, he sees, like, the pictures on the wall. And at that point, we've already gotten like a Brian Cox who is softened, right? And clearly has some regrets. Yep. But we don't really see how he reacts to like the first time his son is making a run at a big league career, right? We don't know how he felt about that. And so that, I think you're right, is the point where maybe in a slightly different structured, you know, opening segment, you would have seen him at various points throughout his, you know, you might have seen him go to his, you know, play in college or whatever, and then get drafted and then see how his father reacted to that, rather than that just being something that kind of gets backfilled.
That's, I think that's a great call. And it's like, it didn't make the movie worse, but it's just, it felt like surprisingly underdeveloped, especially because, you know, it is a Disney movie and Disney's really good at having a parent who sucks.
Yeah. Right, plus Brian Cox is a fantastic actor, and he can clearly handle that, and you don't. He's missing from a big chunk of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we then get also Jim's relationship with his own son, as we know, jokingly saying, I think he prioritized, obviously, over his relationship with his other kids, one of whom is just a baby, so whatever. But the daughter does get kind of short shrift in there. But it clearly, you know, his son is a big, like, super interested in him playing baseball, and that's kind of meant to, I think, be a counterpoint to his own relationship with his dad, obviously. I know there are some things of dramatic license, obviously, taking in this, as there are anytime there is the based on a true story movies. I was actually reading something not long ago about this movie and about all the things that it changed. And like the bulk of it was actually like, yeah, I think it's largely remains true to the whole thing. Like there are definitely details that are different and dramatized and what have you. But I think it sounds like a lot of it was pretty close, which That's I think cool. is it makes a good story, right? Like in the same way that, you know, I alluded to Invincible when we were talking about this movie. And I think there is certainly a similar quality to that, right? Of the sort of random guy that nobody thinks is gonna can make it in the big leagues and ends up actually getting there and fulfilling this dream.
Yeah. And I mean, I like you and I talked about kind of at the start, not a huge Dennis Quaid the Human fan, but I thought he did a fine job with his role. And I would say even the moments of the story that I would say didn't feel quite as trite, and maybe it's because of the true story that it's based on, I don't know, but like when he's ready to give up himself once he's there in the minors and is ready to send himself home because he whatever, like I didn't expect that beat, but I thought that he did a fine job with the movie. He seemed like human in a way that sometimes folks aren't, big name actors aren't in sports movies especially.
Yeah, I agree.
He seemed grounded, which I appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, it works too, I think, in the sense that he's not ostentatious and he's not like full of himself, right? Quite the opposite in most cases. And that is certainly not a narrative that we see as much from professional sports players or professional sports players in movies. But I think it is a key to this. And like, I agree with you, Koi, he's not my favorite person as a person, but I think he is a fine actor. And this is a movie that showcases kind of his strong suit, I think, which is a certain, you know, folksy down home persona in some ways that I think kind of it works with the subject matter. It works with the story of this guy, a little aw shucks, right? Like that's kind of a element they're going for here. Yeah, I think, I mean, overall, I think this movie's a pretty solid movie. Like, it is a, for a Disney movie, right? Like, it's just sort of hitting those beats. It has a pleasantly uplifting ending, even if, you know, as we talked about at the end, like, he only ends up pitching a couple seasons. But it's pretty good for somebody in their 30s.
And if they're going to do the real story, then that's what has to happen.
Yeah, exactly, right. But, like, it's not like he showed up for one appearance and he, like, struck one guy out, never played again, right? Like, it's a little
and
bit...
And he got a strikeout in his first at-bat. It's pretty great. First pitching. It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. So that's... it's a good poetic end to the story, and I appreciate that part of it. I wish we'd gotten a little more time, too, with the his one teammate there, Brooks, who I like. And he gets a couple good scenes there at the end as sort of the one, you know, guy who sort of comes around on him and then they get called up together and all of that. But I wish in some ways in a movie, had this been, you know, a slightly different movie or a movie that focused more on his major league career, we might have gotten more time with the sort of the dynamic there and the dynamic with his teammates. But I did appreciate that. I thought that was a good little bit.
Yeah, there was no weak link in terms of performer in this movie. I thought it was a fine movie. I thought it was a little boring. I was trying to think of the delicate way to say it. But like, we've talked about this before, and this is like a challenge of any movie that's going to be archetypical. Is that the right word to use?
Sure.
You know, like a movie that's got a formula is going to feel a little formulaic, and that's okay if it's done well. And it was done well. I didn't feel like the I wasn't like watching the clock. That's the wrong podcast. But I wasn't watching the clock while I watched it because it did a good job with the story. It was fun. But I think it lacked a little drama for me.
Yeah. I think the last, you know, hour or so is very pacey. It keeps it kind of moving ahead.
Yes.
I think we went at one point from talking about like when it switched, you know, at the midpoint to being the story about him. And then I feel like I didn't look at the, you know, the clock again until it was about like, oh, there's 10 minutes left or whatever, right? Like
the first half is the one that felt slower. I think in part because it's, at least for me, going in only knowing the name and what I expected it would be about. Like, when's that going to happen?
Expectations. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Is this just a movie about a high school baseball team?
Right. And which one is the rookie?
Yeah, exactly. No, I do think there's probably some trimming I would do in the first half of this movie just to keep it rolling along a little bit more, though I like all those performers and I like the narrative just fine. I think it probably stretches a little too long for what they need to do in the second half of the movie. And I appreciate your point about the formula too. I think one of the tricks with formula is often like you want to hit those beats, but you do need to put your own spin on it in some way or like add a little something that, you know, so when you talk about this to somebody else, you're like, well, it's kind of formula, but you know, I think they do a really good job with X or Y or Z. And I think this movie has a couple moments that I like that make it a little more charming. I like the stuff with growing the grass on the baseball field. I think I would also potentially cut that, but I think it is one of the things that makes it feel, mow it. I think that, you know, the scene that's closest to being kind of a fun and almost certainly totally fictional scene is the scene with the speedometer on the side of the road. It's a good scene, and you get that scene where like the lights blink on, right? It's not 76, but you know, it's perhaps cute. A little too cutesy. And I do think honestly, the townsfolk are probably one of your strengths that you should lean into, just because the humor that they bring to this like is a little more off kilter. It's a little more wacky. Is not quite the right word, but like
no, but I know what you mean. They lend a little bit of silliness, and I think you're right that they were all solid performers, and we don't get enough of them. Like, let them be a little bit more of a constant throughout the movie, and give them, they don't need a ton of screen time, but just give them a little more to say or do.
Yeah.
Because they do give it a different flavor that it
I feel like that, that is why the whole deer thing is in there, is honestly just to have them get that scene where they put all the hair down. Yeah.
Try to give them something else to do. Yeah. Which was ridiculous to me in one way, because like then all the hair vanished when the grass started growing, which didn't make sense. Like, they should come to the field, see grass, and also see hair.
You know, they raked it up. They came back in the middle of the night and raked it up.
Oh, did we miss that?
Yeah, we missed that scene. The coyotes eat the hair. the deer eat the grass. And then you gotta get rid of the coyotes.
I don't know why she swallowed a fly.
Yeah, I mean, I also think it's a pretty good baseball movie. Like, you know, when we talked last week with Everybody Wants Some, like, our biggest thing with that was, like, there wasn't a lot of baseball in it. And this movie does not have that problem. This movie is 100% a baseball movie. And I think it's mostly pretty well done. I like the dynamic with the team in the first half. Like, you know, I do think it's a little silly that they get motivated by having their coach try out. But it also does it kind of works. Like, and I think they get enough mileage out of that it feels compelling. But it is certainly a very baseball forward baseball movie, and I like that part of it, and it provides a nice contrast too to some of the other movies we watch, where, like, you know, thinking about Fever Pitch, which I'd rather not do again, but that was such a like view of baseball as a obsessive and a fanatical devotion, whereas I feel like this manages to be a fan of baseball without being fanatical about it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. And it certainly showed the love of the actual game.
Yes.
Without without being schmaltzy about it, I guess is the word I'll use. Like, it did in a way that felt earned and reasonable.
Yeah. And it has a personal, you know, link, I think, with him. And I liked that. I like that he is a baseball coach as well as a player. Like, I think that, I don't know, something about that works really well for me.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you get, and not in a movie of this sort, but like, you get where, like, I want to be a baseball star because I want to be a baseball star. And he wants to play professional baseball because he loves baseball. And that's not a huge difference, but it's different. And I think it's to the movie's benefit.
Yeah, agree. I think it works well seeing it through the lens of his kid and having the moments too where he's like, oh, you know, his kid's got his dad's picture up on his wall along with all the other baseball players. And I thought that it's kind of sweet, even, you know, if we mentioned I think we both critique the son character for perhaps being a little two-dimensional.
But he was a prop in this movie.
Yes. But He is effective at what he does, and he is sort of the motivating factor for a lot of it, which I appreciated. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it is cool that it's like genuinely his students that get him excited about getting into it too. Like,
yeah,
that's cool.
Especially because he seems to be the one driving like that baseball. Like he shows up in town, there is no baseball, right? And like, yes, by the time he's older, he's like, he's coaching the baseball team. So I appreciate that.
we never quite get the story of, you know, does baseball come back to that town in a more material way? They kind of let that thread go, which is, I think, fine.
It's fine. Anyways, yeah. I think we were both pretty happy with this one. So yeah, what?
I think this was a solid double.
Yeah, solid double. Oh yeah, sorry, I forget. We're doing baseball parlance. Okay.
Yeah, I'm really good at sports. So yeah,
I know how much you
baseball now.
You like baseball. Well, we're I think we've only got a couple movies left in this season of not playing. So let us see what we're going to do for our eighth inning, as it were. I'm going to generate with random.org a pick. We have more movies than we can pick. So
that's incredible.
All right. We are picking, random.org. Every time I swear I do it, it does a one every time. I should mix up my list more. It has selected For the Love of the Game.
Okay.
And anything off the top of your head?
Boy, oh boy, For the Love of the Game. Genuinely nothing. My long shot guess is Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. Love it.
I know nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, we will we'll be back to watch that one next week. I have not seen that movie. I know of it. I know a few details about it, but I have not seen it. So we'll see how it goes.
I can't wait. Well, Dan, what a pleasure to get to watch another movie with you, and one that wasn't bad.
Yeah, I like that. I like getting to watch movies with you that aren't bad. Although the movies that are bad have their own particular joys.
Also true.
All right. Well, we'll be back next time. But until then, remember, keep watching the
speed of your pitches.
I was going to say that. It's not catchy, but I was going to say it.
You only need one of us. This is the least believable scene to me so far because none of the kids is complaining.
That's a fair point.
I have three kids, Dan.
My kids asleep. So that's okay.
I like my kids a lot, but they don't like boring lines where they don't get anything at the end of the line.